Let the speech of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before Yehowah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Yehowah, like the land of Egypt in coming to Zoar. In the deepest sense, this story, like all the stories of the Old Testament, is about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in the world. In the deepest sense, Abram is the Lord, and Lot, his nephew, stands for the sensual pleasures in the Lord's human life. In the story, Abram urges Lot to separate himself, and Lot moves away toward Sodom. This represents how the Lord got rid of certain inclinations to sensual pleasures that were fighting with what was divine and heavenly within him. In a parallel way, we also need to sort some things out in our lives and separate from certain kinds of pleasures in order to follow the Lord. We can do this because the Lord has done it in his human nature, and he is with us in all our states, with all power in heaven and on earth. It is an encouraging story for us in its spiritual sense. Sensual pleasures captivate us in childhood and continue to distract us from higher things in adult life. There are many pleasures which agree with heavenly things and are very good. But those that don't agree have to be restrained and eventually wiped out because they block the way to heavenly joy. Children can't help taking in worldly ideas and pleasures that do not agree with spiritual truths and heavenly affections. Since the Lord God, when he came into the world, put on an ordinary human nature through Mary, he also had worldly things present with him. But the state of a child is still holy because it is innocent. A child hasn't learned to distinguish worldly things from heavenly things, but he or she is willing and often eager to learn. The more we learn and the more we apply what we learn to life, the more clear and distinct our ideas of a heavenly life becomes. The more we see the goal, the more we are able to separate merely selfish and worldly things from ourselves. About the Lord we read, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." He grew into the ability to recognize certain worldly things present in his human states. Then strife arose within him, represented by the unhappiness between the shepherds of Abram and Lot. The struggle in the spiritual sense was between the heavenly things and the worldly things with the Lord. We face similar struggles as we become aware of conflicting interests within us. The heavenly doctrine points out that pleasures are only effects. They are signs of much deeper causes. Pleasures often feel all-encompassing in themselves, but they are really only the tip of the iceberg, comparatively. We can see this from the way the same sensations evoke very different responses from different people, or even from the same person in different moods. The pleasure, or the lack of it, depends entirely on the person's inner states. So a pleasure has its quality, whether good or evil, entirely from the affection within it. If overall a person is looking to the Lord and to the neighbor, that is, to being an honest, useful person among his fellow human beings, then his pleasures will generally be in agreement with heavenly things. But if the person's state is selfish and materialistic, then all that state's effects are evil, no matter how outwardly harmless they may seem, even if his pleasures seem identical with a good person's pleasures. This teaching is given to us. People who are in charity, that is, who dwell in love towards the neighbor have no regard for the enjoyment of pleasures except on account of the use that is served. All pleasures are granted to us, yet only for the sake of the use they serve. In this way, they share in and receive their life from heavenly happiness. Arcana Celestia 997. In order to understand what kinds of pleasures agree with heavenly life and what do not, the doctrine says we should reflect on what we love most. From the loves that rule us, our life is formed. A person's life is nothing else than his ruling love. The things that disagree with eternal life must be removed, and if they cannot be removed, the person cannot help but be unhappy to eternity. How can we sort out what pleasures are useful from those that are merely selfish? The first, most basic measure is the Ten Commandments. If pleasures are leading us toward violating one of the Ten Commandments, clearly they are doing harm. Another measure is whether they are distracting us from living a useful life and fulfilling our responsibilities to other people. We need recreation, so some pleasures add a lot to our being a useful person. Time with our families is an opportunity for very important uses that we owe to our spouse and to our children. Hopefully, we enjoy some of this time and these uses as well. We need to balance the uses at home and the uses in society. We need to carefully combine uses to others with rest and recreation. Another yardstick is moderation. The ancient Greek saying, "Nothing in excess," is still a very good guide. We must try not to let ourselves become obsessed with any particular activity. We should try our best to take a long view of the pleasures we enjoy from the perspective of eternal life. We can guard ourselves from just reacting slavishly or mechanically to the itch for immediate gratification and short-term enjoyments. The Arcana Celestia says, "Sensual spirits abound in the other life at the present day, for troops of them come from the world, and the influx from them prompts man to indulge his natural inclination and to live for himself in the world, but not for others, except insofar as they favor him and his pleasures. In order for a man to be uplifted from these spirits, he must think about eternal life." But many questions remain, because our heavenly and spiritual loves are not as strong as we would like them to be. What kinds of pleasures are really useful, and what kind are empty extravagances? How serious a problem is it when we indulge in a rather worthless pleasure? Why does this world seem to be so full of things that distract us from our preparation for heaven, both pleasures and problems? Maybe the Lord pondered some of these questions for himself and for his children, the human race whom he had come into the world to save. He found that there were many attitudes and false notions in human nature that were blocking its closeness to the divine, to himself. The weaknesses he found in the human nature from Mary showed the state of human nature generally. He wanted to free himself of those weak, sickly qualities, and so open the way for all of us to be healed as well. So Abram said to Lot, "Please separate from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right hand, then I will go to the left." We can hear the Lord speaking to those things in the external parts of human nature that disagreed with the leading of the divine within him. We too might speak to ourselves in this way when we perceive some evil in ourselves from which we want to be free. As the doctrine points out, sometimes we even get angry with the evil and want to drive it out. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was all well watered, before Yehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Yehovah, like the land of Egypt in coming to Zoar. Here is described a state when the Lord Jesus was enlightened. What he saw was how beautiful the external, sensuous part of human nature can be when it is conjoined with the internal, truly rational man, and also how hideous it can be when it is not. Good affections and spiritual truths coming down from heaven can take root and grow in the garden of our external life, our everyday life of useful activities, pleasures, and experiences. Mutual love toward our fellow human beings is the essence of heaven. This beautiful love comes down from the Lord, and it feels like our own love as it becomes planted in our everyday life. The Lord perceived the happiness and peace that blooms when our inner rational man and our outer sensual man are in harmony and correspondence. The Lord wanted to create this harmony in himself so that he could provide it for us. But he also saw the ugliness and the misery of the external man when it is not in harmony with the internal man in us. This is represented by the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, who were wicked and sinners against Yehovah exceedingly. Uncontrolled self-love is the opposite of mutual love and love to the Lord. It is the cause of all disunion and disharmony, both between the Lord and man and among people in society. When the Lord came into the world, the human race had so cut itself off from mutual love flowing down from the Lord out of heaven that mankind was about to perish. Our external sensual nature was nearly destroyed as a vessel to receive true love, like Sodom and Gomorrah, nearly destroyed by fire and brimstone, corresponding to burning passions and blinding, choking self-justifications. That is why the Lord came into the world and took upon himself the hideously perverted state of the human race and brought it back to order in himself. He rejoined the internal and external man in himself. Thus he prepared the way for us to be close to him again, and he with us. Because the Lord won this victory in himself, he holds all power over the hells. By his strength, we can come to clearer answers to the many questions in our lives. If we approach him in his word and in prayer and reflect on his eternal purposes for us, he will give us strength to see clearly and act decisively to bring our lower or external nature under his control. In the Word, the Lord shows us the garden of true intelligence and wisdom that makes a heavenly life. He saves us from a dry, puritanical, self-righteous life on the one hand, and from addiction to selfish pleasures on the other. He leads us gently and gradually out of a merely natural existence into a life that is infilled with the peaceful satisfaction of use. He will show us the path of life, following his own example. As we follow him, we will find that in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, relying on his great strength, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.